I'd like to introduce Ray Miranda. Ray is the president and founder of UCI Engineering, Inc. and RJ Miranda Consultants. Come on up.
Good morning. Interesting enough, I'm here today for basically all the opposite reasons that Chris is here. Initially, our firm was asked to participate in a design where the systems by the client had already been selected for numerous reasons not worth discussing here. But I saw the opportunity of the systems that the client had selected for their building as an opportunity for us to, at the University of Miami, look at performing simulations on applying the program Modelica to look at how ultimately that system would wind up being constructed and ultimately what savings we could wind up getting from it and how the perceived design states that I came up with would wind up working with it. So I got together with one of my professors, Dr. Wang Dezhu, and we then got together with one of my colleagues, Sean Hyung, that is also a doctoral student at the University of Miami, and looked at putting together something that would represent a very specific project. This very specific project, on top of everything else, is a little unusual for its use. Although it's a hotel as a structure, the design for the mechanical systems are actually not terribly conventional for a hotel. The one element of it that did, although I think, present the greatest opportunity for us in looking at applying Modelica to this project, is that the owner, although selecting initially the systems for the building, wanted to achieve a gold rating from LEED and was desperate to look at whatever he could do to get as many credits as he could in innovation, in energy savings, so that he could achieve that rating. That came to us being a part of developing the simulation process for the model that we looked at for this particular project. And with that, again, although it's mainly, in this particular case, a hotel in nature, and we're looking mostly for the savings that you would wind up seeing ultimately in a building such as a hotel that is somewhat limited in the marketplace, the systems, as I'll discuss in a second, are far more reaching than that, because it really more closely resembles the systems that you would expect in a high-rise residential building, such as a condominium building. The integration that we were fortunate enough to have in this project and be able to model wind up integrating both the energy savings of the air conditioning system, but also savings in the hot water generation portion of the building. So there's a total system integration between energy savings and hot water preheat that ultimately became a part of what the design of this building wound up being. So this is the project. It's a hotel on Surfside, just slightly north of Miami Beach. It's a Grand Beach Hotel. It's not a terribly large building, a few hundred guest rooms. I think it's slightly under 300, if I remember correctly. But the systems that have been designed for it is a condenser water system. It's a closed-loop condenser water system for the public spaces. It is, believe it or not, a DX system for the individual guest rooms. They're packaged DX units. And what we do have that's more standard for this building is the domestic hot water heating system, which are your typical boiler plant. This basically represents what would wind up being the two separate systems individually. Again, a closed loop system for the heat pumps with the cooling tower for it, heat exchanger in between. Typical boiler system for the domestic hot water, the hot water obviously for your guest rooms, hot water for the kitchen, and what you would typically expect for most any commercial hotel, other than obviously the air conditioning portion of the building. So one of the first things that became obvious in trying to help this client in obtaining any accreditation for LEED and getting some energy conservation out of it was to do the obvious thing, which is to combine the heating system available through the condenser water for the heat pumps, for the closed loop portion of the heat pumps, with a preheat for the boilers. This particular building also initially had one additional small problematic caveat that the client initially did not want to consider putting in a reheat boiler for the hot water return for the heat pumps for the winter. So that initially created a scenario that wound up being a part of the states that wound up being developed for the operations of the system controls. Typical day that would be expected in that area, not probably a whole lot different than what we have here. For the most part, we're looking at 90 degree weather, the use of the building, again, hotel. You're looking at 2 to 3 major operational uses during the day for the kitchen, where you wind up having spikes in the use of the domestic hot water and gas. And then obviously the couple of spikes that you have throughout the day for people getting up, taking showers, getting ready to spend the day in the hotel or out and about, and then in the evenings, as well as when they come back home, they come back and take showers again. So we have two specific uses at the very minimum for the guests, for the generation of hot water, and for the generation of the heating that we would have required for the kitchen hot water system as well. So what you'll see here on the left were the initial seven states that I put together to analyze what the possible conditions will wind up being for this system. We'll go over a couple of them quickly. We have what would wind up being two of the more common conditions. One would be a large demand common conditions in the winter, that is, large demand for heating in the winter, so your heat pumps are going to wind up trying to go through a reverse cycle on some of those that are handling areas closer to the exterior of the building, and we'll start producing some amount of heat from them. If we're not producing enough heat from those to maintain the building comfortable in the public areas, then obviously the boiler, which initially was not considered to be part of the design, would have to kick in and provide the additional hot water needed to have the heat pumps provide heating for the space. And at the same time, a large demand for domestic hot water. So the domestic hot water, again, would be the kitchen use, would wind up also being the use for the guests getting up and showering, and then in the evenings taking showers again. So at the same time, you'll have the use for the kitchen both in the evening and during the day. So the initial consideration for this particular client, which would wind up being the second state that you see there, that boiler that you see shown for the heating on the closed loop system for the heat pumps, would not have been there. And there was a consideration through the same system that would have utilized the heat exchanger providing some energy efficiency as a preheating to the domestic hot water, would have also been utilized to reheat the water return from the heat pump units with the boiler not being in place. That ultimately, although it's been built in this fashion, it is unexpected for there to be much use for that. You would need to have a low use for domestic hot water while you wind up having a need for, and the need would have to be moderate for the heating system for the building. Otherwise, you would deprive, obviously, your guests of having hot water when they choose to take a shower, and you would deprive the kitchen of being able to provide hot water services for their use as well. The more typical condition, which I think winds up being ultimately the state that benefits the building the most, is when you have a large demand for air conditioning, and consequently you also have a large demand for the hot water heating system of the building. At that point in time, the excess heat that's generated by the heat pump units can wind up going through the heat exchanger and have the counterflow providing a raised temperature for preheating of the domestic hot water. One of the conditions that became a study that further requires us to analyze this is a condition where we're not able at this point in time to take advantage of the heat that is generated by the large demand for air conditioning in the building. So you're generating heating for hot water heating on the return water side for the heat pumps, but your hot water demand for the use within the building itself is not there. Could wind up being during an off time of the day or in between the let's say lunch and dinner when people are maybe not in their rooms. You're not generating a great need for hot water, but the temperature winds up being such that you need to generate the air conditioning for the building. So there's an opportunity at this particular state where you could wind up sizing correctly a storage tank, a hot water storage tank that would capture some of the waste heat generated by the heat pumps and be able to store that for future use throughout the day for a preheat again for the domestic hot water. So that's an opportunity that that we've been discussing internally on how to take advantage of that waste heat that is not right now being captured that we'll certainly be including in this analysis in the future. The opportunity for us, obviously, in analyzing a system of that nature that's somewhat complex, and actually the last portion that you'll see becomes that much more complex when we attach the actual makeup water from rainwater that is captured for this building and attempted to be used within the building itself for toilet flush, irrigation, and cooling tower makeup water. Presents itself where there are obviously many opportunities for energy conservation, but the systems become so complex, and the number of iterations that you're looking at for analyzing the numerous conditions that you have throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, becomes cumbersome to the point that you humanly cannot deal with such a complex system on your own. Generating the equations necessary to do so becomes obviously, and coupling those equations together so that you have the benefit of the shared efficiencies from one system to the other becomes a monumental task as well. And although this building is somewhat complex in the sense of the modeling of it, it's really not an enormously large building, so the number of systems that you have are actually somewhat limited in number. So looking at the same condition, but yet increasing that to a much larger facility just makes it the ability to be able to do so that much more difficult. So one of the tools that that we've been looking at and have had a great deal of success with, which is the reason why I brought this over to Dr. Wangda, is Modelica. Modelica is modeling language that has been around since the late 90s, initially started out as a modeling language for the automobile industry. And it's a equation-based language that stores all the necessary equations for the individual elements that we would put together in a model, such as the one that we are representing here for this particular hotel, and does the coupling of the equations for us, does the computation for us, and what we wind up being able to do is spend our time on ensuring that the modeling is done correctly, that the analysis of the result of the results of the modeling is done effectively, and allows us to spend our time in modifying the model, such as the example that I gave a little while ago, that just recently we thought of the fact, hey, what if we include a storage tank facility in here for wasted heat that right now we're not taking advantage of, introducing an element into a model already established where we humanly do not have to deal with all the mathematical interactions that occur between energy and fluid flow, winds up being done effectively by Modelica, when all we need to do is ensure that we put together the model correctly to represent what it is that we're trying to build. So in essence, what Modelica does for us is we wind up dealing with, on the human side, being able to put together the model where we don't have to worry about the equations, we don't have to worry about the algorithms. What we worry about is getting a model put together that represents physically what is happening in the particular condition of the building that we're analyzing or a system that we're proposing. The equations and the seamless connection between the equations for the computations needed for these systems to interact together are already done for us. We have the language already has built within it a library with over 2,500 models available for everyone to use, and has more than 90 free commercial libraries to also go to. So there are libraries of obviously fans, of pumps, boilers, heat exchangers, cooling towers, and all the mathematics that comes with it is already a part of it. And what we would do is integrate that to generate a model. So the model that you saw that we initially, one-line diagram that we initially put together for this building that combined both the heat waste recovery for the condenser water system, the closed-loop condenser water system, and the preheat for the domestic hot water is represented on the surface with the model that you see here put together in Modelica. Then each one of the individual components will have information embedded within it that generates the ability for that segment of the model to perform what it's designed to do, such as your control system. In this particular case, the control system, we modeled the initial state sequencing that I wanted to put together, and we evaluated that at the end of the initial runs that we've done. You have your domestic water heating system. It also has within it embedded its logic and has embedded within it all the individual components that we have in this particular building and you would expect in any of them. Your load for hot water in your kitchen and in the guest rooms, your pumps, your heat exchangers, your boilers, and obviously locations where it's been deemed necessary to have readings taken for the temperature or depending on the condition of the design. If the design were not, in this case, energy-based, but were to be a design structure to determine whether your fluid flow design is correct, then you would have locations where you'd be measuring pressures if you correctly identified all your piping design sizes and bends and valves and whatnot. And it would wind up also providing you information back on your pressure drops and pressure positions that you have in any particular case, identifying absolute pressure that you have in any of the individual points that you are analyzing. The load estimation equation that's been provided for the system that we're analyzing wound up being placed for us to look at. But the important issue winds up being is the once the system is put together, you wind up having all the components correctly connected. You've run the system through. The system has already told you that it is a functioning system, which it will do for you. You then provide the inputs that you are that correlate with the system that you have put together. You put in your inputs for cooling and heating, put in your inputs for how your demand will wind up being for, in this particular case, for hot water, both your guest rooms and your kitchen, and you wind up getting results back on what your expected, in our case, what our expected conditions of state wind up being, what the savings for each of those conditions of state wind up being as well. To me, this is one of the charts that has most importance to evaluate for this particular project. If you look at the state graph that's in the center, those are the individual states that I initially wound up designing. And those individual states, we looked at a day where there's a challenge in it, a day probably not a whole lot different than some of the days that we've experienced in the last couple of days here. And you can see that it's the system itself, as designed, would have gone through every single state that initially I assumed that the system could have gone through. But by the same token, there are some states where it looks like there's just not enough time spent on any of those individual states that it might be worthwhile for us to consider keeping. So one of the things, obviously, for us is if you can simplify a system, that system will ultimately operate better. You'll wind up having less components, and those components will wind up giving you less problems since they're not embedded within the system that you've designed. So the results will wind up giving you the information, at least initially, of what you're looking at performance-wise, and in our particular case here, locations of where we're looking at, under which state we're getting actual efficiencies that we, or savings that we have from our boiler system, and based on the load that has been presented for this particular building. To complicate matters that much more for this particular system, we added in the rainwater collection. So the rainwater collection, which actually has been built for this particular building, has a collector tank that receives rainwater. That rainwater winds up being processed. We wind up combining along with it makeup water from the city in the event that we go through any dry period. We process that that water. That water legally can be used for toilets, toilet flushing, not for sinks. Can be used for irrigation and can be used for makeup water for the cooling tower. And that system then can be integrated utilizing a tool such as Modelica to be able to see how we could wind up saving energy and save water based on the performance of both systems together. So the heat recovery system winds up having the process that we've indicated tied in with the cooling tower. We wind up adding in the rainwater component to it, the water processing component, and the filtration system as well, and wind up having an overall system where, obviously, as your heat recovery system for your condenser water winds up reducing the amount of heat being passed on to the cooling tower and wind up having the operation of the cooling tower that much more reduced. You have less water that you wind up needing from the cooling tower. That water transfers into savings that could be used for water for irrigation in the building, for the toilet flushing of the building. That in combination with water that gets collected from your rainwater all becomes part of one system that you can be able to analyze using a tool such as Modelica, but nearly impossible to be able to analyze generating the information by ourselves. So the tools that, that Modelica provides for us gives us an opportunity to continue to develop a system. One of the hopes that I have is that ultimately we wind up having a system of this nature taken to the point where we've added in all the individual components that could be considered practical for its use, and ultimately becomes part of a library that users such as yourselves, should you wind up having a building of this nature, utilizing a condenser water system, can obtain and be able to modify to your specific needs and have a lot of the work that's already that would be needed for you to be able to analyze your system be provided for you originally. So outlook, life cycle cost analysis is one of the components that ultimately we plan on adding to the project. Getting the system controls to be optimized so that we're in a position to have as minimal number of state conditions for this project as possible, and setting up the model so that future uses can easily determine what the state conditions wind up being that would best fit their needs. And obviously getting data on this particular building and hopefully in the future on any others that can be modeled so that we can verify the information generated by the simulation program, verify that with the information obtained in the field. Hope I haven't bored everybody to death here, but are there any questions?
Hi, great presentation. Jim Douglas with the White Group. I was wondering if the Modelica system allows for you to vary things like rainwater or showers or the demand for hot water, just to see what the effect is on the performance with different parameter changes.
Sure. I mean, that's one of the beauties of being able to utilize a modeling program of this nature. All we would need to do, or all that one needs to do, is to modify the input for use, and you have that for how the water consumption will wind up being. You'll have that for all the aspects of the components of the system. One of the nice things about it is that as a standard model, that right now has initially been put together for a specific building. All you would need to do, as an example, if that were to be a basic model that could be utilized in a project, let's say that you have, you would change the parameters of system capacity. You would change the parameter for system capacity for your air conditioning system, for your domestic water heating system. Change the profile for how the demand winds up being. If it winds up being a condominium building as opposed to a hotel, that you could have a skew on when the use could occur. You would no longer have a kitchen component in that particular case. You would change the parameters of the controller for the use of that individual component, and the system would run for that particular case. So that's a great thing about it, is that it's extremely flexible. You start out with a system where the individual components have already been vetted very stringently, and you are assured that you're able to apply the individual conditions of either components or component systems that you've put together for your particular case, and the results will wind up being those for you. But yes, it's endless. The amount of variations that you can have are typically just endless.
No, thank you.
Any other questions?
Chris Baker, the White Group.
Yes.
Curious, why did you choose Modelica over a domain-specific modeling platform like Energy Plus or Do2 or something like that?
I think it's a development program that we've been dealing with back at the University of Miami. And it's a very user-friendly for development. And I think that that's one of the huge benefits that we have with it, that what we wind up, what one winds up concentrating on is the actual development of the model. The system calculations wind up handling themselves. We spend our time on the model development itself.
I want to add from University of Miami. I just want to make comments about Christoph's question. So for this specific project, so one thing we want to do is to analyze the control sequencing. As you can see, especially if you have like 7 states, so it's very difficult to do the state machine with conventional tool because those built energy simulation tool are not designed for control purpose. Okay. And another thing is that you can see the we won't have the flexibility to model this kind of complex topology of the system. For the conventional tool, it's difficult because it's already programmed, embedded in tool, right? But in Modelica, so what you do is that you have a component models in the library. You just drop the library, then connect them. So just what do you do for the real system? All the flow, you can do like prescribed mass flow rate, or you can do the pressure-driven flow rate. That's another big issue we're dealing with, because when we couple the domestic hot water system with the air conditioning system, so we're worrying about, do we have enough pump head to pump the flow? Then what will be my pump energy so that the energy I spend on my pump compared to heat recovery, that is the worst. Then we cannot do that with conventional built energy simulation tool because they're not designed for that. In addition, we mentioned he wants to recover, connect the rainwater connection with the energy system again. So more complexity. Therefore, that's why we decide to go with the Modelica route because it can give us more flexibility. And in addition, I'm very impressed by the work you mentioned, the pre-design concept to the detailed design concept. So actually, this is another opportunity we see by using a tool like Modelica. It can provide like hierarchy models. As you can see, like in the system level model, we can define simple icons like domestic hot water. But what's inside, you can decide. If you're in the pre-design phase, you can write very simple few lines. And then you use that model. Then later on, if you go to your final design phase, then you can replace the simple icon with more detailed model. But for the system level, you won't see the difference because you just see an icon with interface. Uh-huh. So because of those reasons, we select so this language.
Thank you.
Hi, Edmund Wong from Arab. Could you comment on the simulation time that it would take for you to run a annual simulation of your system, and also the time for you to develop the system from the component
from scratch
into
to
a system.
To where it is.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I'll I know that one that was present during the running of the models, and I was not. What kind of time frame are we looking at for the running of this particular model?
Yeah, for the annual simulation, I think it's about half hour. We can finish all the simulation with one desktop computer. So it takes longer because we really catch all the states. You can see like staging. So we're running kind of dynamic simulation. That's no fixed time step size. So the time step size is a variable. It can be as short as like milliseconds or as large as an hour. So basically the numerical solver can take care of that. So that's a really big advantage. In terms of development time to build a system model, so most components, they're already existing. So we just use an existing library from the US and the Department of Energy, and then we just connect those components to form our system. So, but of course, you need to have some knowledge that what the component looks like. Just you need to learn to use this. So as long as you learn that, then it's just a few days of work.
Any other questions? Thank you.